Hare Krishna to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is Tuesday, 23rd March, 2021. So we'll continue with our sharing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meanings, teaching from the adapted verse of Sutra of Infinite Meaning. It's a Mahayana Sutra, Wu Liang Yi Jing, as usual. We will have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So I will off the light and you can start your meditation. Remember the four support. Relax body and mind completely. Then aware. And third support is maintain awareness for as long as you can. The last support is trust. Trust your nature to develop the meditation. Do not interfere with the thought, the thinking mind. Just follow all these instructions. Then for those who are familiar with their previous training, which could be whatever methods, techniques, or skillful means that you are familiar with, you can continue to use them to train your sati. All these skillful means, methods, or technique are object of meditation to anchor your mind so that you can develop mindfulness and stabilize it. So it's the same. If you know how to stabilize your spiritual faculty and follow the four support, relax, maintain awareness, then stay away for as long as you can. Then finally, when you are very quiet, very peaceful, still, silence everything and let the nature do the meditation. You don't interfere with the thought process. Just maintain awareness around the heart area. Then let the awareness detect whatever. Even when harm with knives or club or abuse and insulted with words, they never get angry. So these are the very important character of great beings, bodhisattvas. For them to have the ability to do this work, to go this way, they should be able to endure all this. So this is from the sutta. Even when harm with knives or cup or abuse and insulted with words, they never get angry. For many kappas or world cycle, though their body worn down, they are never tired nor slackened. Day and night, they focus their mind and remain in the state of meditation. This is very true. Okay. In these verses adapted from the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, we find that practicing patience or cultivating patience can open our heart and make it possible for us to endure physical and verbal abuses or attack. In cultivating the Buddha's teaching, patience is the most important and most difficult skill to develop. So like I have explained in the previous sharing, patient endurance with wisdom is this virtue we call kanti or patience. But this type of patience is not suppression, not just like endure because you are forced to endure or suppress your emotion and feeling. This one is called patient endurance born of wisdom, where you understand condition like that, things will be like that. So they will endure. They will maintain their mental states of calmness, tranquility, stillness, and they will continue to mindfully and heedfully go about doing their duty. This is how the great beings, the bodhisattvas, cultivate. So patient endurance with wisdom is a very important virtue. So even here the author knew in cultivating the Buddha's teaching, this patient endurance with wisdom or kanti is the most difficult skill to cultivate. No matter how strong or brutal the pressure we face from others, no matter what kind of adversity comes our way, we must learn to endure patiently and not to give rise to even one thought of anger or unhappiness. If we cannot patiently endure, we will react with anger and hatred. This is how you stir your mind, yeah? When you react with anger and hatred. Taking an eye for an eye, if we hurt and kill one another, the negative karmic or the negative karma created will be more and more severe, and the cycle of hatred and retaliation will continue forever. This one is what we call karmic repercussion. It continues to repercut. So this karmic repercussion, they will keep on arising when both parties do not have the understanding of how karma comes about. They will continue to get angry, emotional, unhappy, and they seek revenge. There are a lot of things they cannot agree. So conflict, misunderstanding, confrontation leading to all the argument, the infighting, etc. It's a result of lack of understanding, a result of this delusion. We have to off one of the mic. Yeah. Okay, thanks. Yeah. We have continued, huh? No matter how strong or brutal the pressure we face from others, or this one we have done, huh? No matter what kind of adversity comes our way, we must learn to endure patiently and not to give rise even to one thought of anger. If we can patiently endure, we will react. Sorry, if we cannot patiently endure, we will react with anger and hatred, taking an eye for an eye, which is very true. Huh? Then if you harm and hurt each other, the negativity of karmic repercussion created will be more and more severe, and the cycle of hatred and retaliation will continue forever or eternity. Hence, we must exercise patience as we cultivate the bodhisattva path or bodhisattva way. So patient endurance or kanti is a very important parami or virtue. No matter what situation we encounter, no matter what pressure or persecution we face, we have to learn to accept it calmly and allow the mind to return to its pure intrinsic nature. This one is very important. The statement, allowing the mind to return to its pure intrinsic nature, is the most beautiful. Because that is our true mind. That is our true nature. Before the mundane thinking, before the heedless thinking arises, before the mind is conditioned into negativity. So this aspect of understanding is the basis of cultivation. If you understand that our natural state of mind before the arising of the mundane mind or the thinking mind is the pure true mind. And that mind is intrinsically peaceful, calm, tranquil, and still. So you have to allow whatever movement or agitation to return to the intrinsic state for you to realize the peace within. So here the statement is very good. No matter what situation we encounter, no matter what pressure or persecution we face, or whatever situation we confront, we have to learn to accept it calmly. So acceptance is the first understanding. Like the Buddha said, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. So if the causes and conditions behind has already been set, so that is the reality. So we cannot react to what happened or get angry over what happened. We have to come to terms with that reality through wisdom, to accept things as they are, to accept the reality of the moment. Then, with clarity of mind, we reflect, we contemplate. Then we act. We find out what happened. What actually happened. What are the causes and conditions for the arising of all this. Then through right view, we straighten our view. And we are able to develop this patient endurance to accept the reality within the moment. So when you can accept, it becomes very beautiful. So you have to learn to accept it calmly with patient endurance and wisdom. Then allow the mind to return to its pure intrinsic nature to realize the true mind, which is peaceful, calm, and tranquil. Then your problem is resolved, gone. When we see people using their power to oppress others, besides having compassion for the oppressed, we should also take it as a reminder not to do the same and understand that using power to harm others is actually harming ourselves. Yeah, this is nature's law. You reap what you sow. Law of karma. Physical law also the same. To every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Newton's third law. So this understanding will allow you to act, to develop the understanding, to cultivate the Dhamma accordingly. I will read on. I often say, when someone bothers us, it means we ourselves is lacking in spiritual cultivation. And this is very true. Very, very true. Even if you meet difficult people, or nasty people, unreasonable people, of course you will land yourself into problem or situation. But here, the author has developed the understanding of cultivation until he is able to advise all his volunteers and followers. He said, when somebody bothers us, it means we ourselves are lacking in spiritual cultivation. Where you perceive it with negativity, you think they bother you, they trouble you. But in reality, it's not the case. They are just the way they are. Do you know why? Selfish people do selfish things. Deluded people do deluded things. Violent people do violent things. So people who are very, very unreasonable, or who are very negative in their approach to life, due to their ignorance, their anger, their hatred, their lack of understanding, they will make life difficult for you. They will do things that normal people do not like and cannot take it. So people whom you don't like, difficult people that you confront, you have to arise patient. You have to develop understanding to accept them for what they are. When we can accept them for what they are, we can be at peace. Then we will not react. We will not stir our mind. We will not get angry and create unnecessary conflict and misunderstanding, or create unnecessary further conflict or misunderstanding. If we can just take a step back and apologize, just sincerely say, I'm very sorry if I have done anything that displeased you or caused you unhappiness. It's my fault. May my sincere apology be accepted. Then, thank you. Thank you for your kind understanding. I really appreciate it. So if you lower your ego, humble yourself down, speak the appropriate, kind, gentle, and right speeches. Do not try to react to situation. Do not create unnecessary misunderstanding and conflict. Whatever you do must bring about harmony so that you can resolve issue amicably. That should be the way. So what the author say is very true. If you become affected by any situation in life, it means you lack spiritual cultivation. It's just like the case of the Buddha. If he can get angry while living life or in the midst of life, then he is not the Buddha. He is the Buddha because he has this wisdom and understanding. He can be at peace in all situations. He can resolve issues amicably. That's how he become a Samasambuddha. So wisdom is very important. You need wisdom to develop such ability. So without wisdom, we cannot resolve issues. We cannot solve life problems. We cannot free our mind from affliction and difficult situation. So all this is part of Dhamma understanding. So today's topic is very beautiful. We move from patient endurance with wisdom to developing the Noble Eightfold Path factors that are relevant for us to understand life, to resolve issues amicably, to bring about harmony, to resolve unnecessary misunderstanding and conflict. So this is what Noble Eightfold Path is. With right view, we develop right understanding, then we resolve our problem through proper approach in life. Means we arise the appropriate, beautiful, right speech. Then we act wisely, righteously. Then we act without negativity of karmic. Then we resolve issue amicably so that nobody gets hurt. Then we arise all the appropriate right thought, kind thought, wholesome thought, virtuous thought, beautiful thoughts. So all these are vital, essential virtue and understanding that we must develop for us to walk the path of Dhamma, for us to be a true spiritual cultivator. So that is the meaning. This is the part I add on. Okay, we'll go on with the sharing. So the author is correct. He said when somebody bother us, it means we ourselves are lacking in spiritual cultivation. So the meaning is very deep. So for a cultivator to develop this understanding means they know you have to reach that level of understanding or wisdom to enable you to resolve all situations amicably. There is no such thing as this situation I cannot handle. It is too tough, too difficult. Because whatever you confront in life, you need wisdom and understanding to resolve issues amicably. Then he also said, the author also said, do not punish yourself with other people's mistakes. This is very true. Though these are simple phrases, we really need to take them to heart in order to develop right view. This is very true. And clearly discern the habitual tendency at work in interpersonal relationship. So this one is after long cultivation. A person who has developed the cultivation over a long period with wisdom can understand all this. So the advice, the instruction may be simple, like do not punish yourself with others' mistake. Means when you confront the world, when you confront situation, don't get angry with others, with the world. And don't get angry with yourself. Don't blame yourself. That's why do not punish yourself. Do not become miserable over what happened. Endure. Develop wisdom, right view, to accept the reality of the moment. Then, with a clear mind, patiently reflect, contemplate. Then act spontaneously with your wisdom, yoniso. To resolve things amicably, beautifully, so that there is win-win situation. And you have to follow Noble Eightfold Path if you want to do that. The Noble Eightfold Path is the real middle way, middle path. And the Buddha said, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. Everything ceases. That is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Not just all the sitting, walking, and formal meditation. No. It involves reflection, contemplation, silencing your mind, developing mindfulness, hiddenness, straightening your views, then cultivating virtue, then developing stability of mindfulness, to observe precept, to avoid all evil, to cultivate wholesomeness, virtue, goodness, then to purify the mind, to develop wisdom, to awaken, to liberate the mind. So this is what cultivation is all about, not just the very basic Dhamma knowledge to do things. Those are not real cultivation. Okay, we move on. The other thing that he mentioned is to clearly discern your own habitual tendency at work in interpersonal relationship is a very good way of investigation. He called it discernment. You discern. You try to investigate into your own behavior. Your habitual tendency. How did you accumulate such habitual tendency? And when you have such habitual tendency, it becomes like habit, automatic, auto-reflection. Like it's habitual. You just do things habitually without wisdom, without understanding. So this habitual tendency are all your latent tendency, anusaya. Or what the Buddha called in Pali, asava. Then the other word is kilesa. These are all your defilement with different level of intensity. So habitual tendency are already very latent. It's very strong in you already. Otherwise, it cannot become habitual. So all this understanding are very beautiful. Then I read on. When we see others making mistakes, we do not want to follow their lead and make the same mistake. In addition, we should be grateful to them for reminding us to vigilantly protect our pure intrinsic nature. And this is a very good way of reversing the light, to actually introspect our own self. Then when we see others making mistakes or not following the Dhamma way or heedlessly reacting and doing all those things that are totally against the Noble Eightfold Path, so what do we do? You should not follow their lead and make the same mistake. Then we should reflect. They are heedless because they lack Dhamma. They lack this teaching. So we should count our good blessing. That's why we should have gratitude. We should be grateful because the way they manifest remind us to be vigilant so that we will not fall into the same karmic heritage like them, karmic negativity. So vigilant means heedful. When you are vigilantly protecting your pure intrinsic nature, means you don't allow it to fall. You don't allow it to arise delusion within your mundane mind. So this delusion part is very difficult to root out. Initially, it's very difficult for most cultivators. But for true cultivator, they understand this very clearly. That's why they won't fall back. They know their pure intrinsic nature is so beautiful. But because of ignorance is stirred, it reacts, it creates negativity of mind state. So this mundane mind, which is our thinking mind, which is basically our thought process with its content of consciousness, which are our mental intention, our views, our opinion, our conditioning, our belief system, etc. So we use that to act. So the user of this thought process is very important. If the user lack wisdom, lack understanding, you cannot act. You will act with negativity. You will act heedlessly. You will act according to memory. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. Then how should we act? We should act according to wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path, the Dhamma way. When we have the right view, the right understanding, and the essential Dhamma developed and cultivated, we will have the right understanding. Then we will know how to live life. We will know how to arise the appropriate right thought, beautiful thought, that condition, the right action and right speech, leading to all the Noble Eightfold Path factors. This is how we cultivate. This is how we develop wisdom, mindfulness, leading to heedfulness and understanding. We will be ever mindful, vigilant, heedful against negative influence and tendency. So cultivating Dhamma is an understanding. When you understand, you can cultivate it very well. You can do it righteously, accordingly, following nature's law. You will not violate them. So this part is not easy to understand. So pay attention to my explanation, that it will benefit you in your cultivation. Because what is written here is from the author who has developed the cultivation, but you cannot really understand her to that level, to that profoundness of her sharing, unless you yourself is a real cultivator. So what I do here is I have that ability to understand what she meant. That's why I can explain all this. And when I explain, I can relate it to your life, to your memory, to your conditioning, to all of the things that is happening within your formic mind. Then I can explain to you the true mind, that pure intrinsic nature and the mundane mind, and how the mundane mind stir and get itself entangled. That is the missing link of most Dhamma book. Yeah. So pay attention to the sharing that I introduce from all this, what they call sharing that we got from this essence of infinite meaning, teaching from the third verse, verses of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. So Sutra of Infinite Meaning is very beautiful. These are teachings from Sammasambuddha. These are teachings that explain to us the great virtue of great beings, real true cultivator, especially bodhisattvas. That's why if you want to go this way, you have to listen attentively and develop the understanding. Okay, I will move on. When other hurl insults at us, can we understand them? This is a very good question. We must not only endure them, see? Enduring them without wisdom, no point, that is suppression. But also treat these people with respect. Means we thank them for giving us the condition to test our cultivation. If we encounter someone who resort to physical violence, then what should we do? We have to quickly step aside and not confront them or create unnecessary misunderstanding, further misunderstanding and argument. We must even feel gratitude towards them. Why? Because if we did not encounter such trials as this, then we would not know that there are people in this world who can be cruel. Actually, the other better way to put it is, this is a good test. If you don't encounter these people, you cannot be tested. You don't know where your cultivation is, how stable is your wisdom and understanding, how good your cultivation is, to what extent you can understand all this and resolve all this amicably. So truly, the cruelty and kindness of this world can only be known through personal experience. That's why you can recall, my nature always share with you all this understanding. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Because this world is full of my rights of living beings, with my rights of character, behavior, views, opinion, and conditioning. So they are just the way they are. There are people who are violent, cruel, deluded. In fact, there are more of this. But there are also kind people, righteous people, virtuous people, cultivator, practitioner of Dhamma, or certain religious people who are really very wholesome in their character, in their understanding. They really possess the virtue of a true spiritual practitioner or a true cultivator. We call them the person who has the Dhamma or the right understanding. So spirituality is about wisdom and understanding. You can approach it from any religion. It's up to you. Nobody can monopolize truth, because truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Truth is not monopolized by anybody. Like the Buddha said, This Dhamma, which is the truth, he discovered it after he became enlightened. It was there before him. It was in the midst of nature. So coming back to this question about truth, I think it's a very important topic. You should listen to this so that you can understand. If you look at the religion of the world, you will find one thing very surprising. Almost every religion, they will proclaim that their religion has the truth. Then some will proclaim their religion is the only religion that has the truth. All other religions don't have the truth. Then the question which one must ask or inquire is, what is truth? What is truth? If you cannot understand what is true, then all this argument has no meaning. So the best way to answer this question is, truth is whatever that can explain the way things are, means the reality. True or not? If it cannot explain the way things are, the reality within every moment that happened in this universe, then that is not the truth. So if this is the definition, then we can easily deduce that truth is understanding nature's law. All of the nature's law that governs life and existence is the truth. So which means truth is. Truth is the reality. The way things are, like the Buddha said, ta-ta-ta. Suchness. So if truth is defined so clearly, then who can monopolize truth? Can't. We should reflect this deeply and develop clear understanding. That's why finally my nature came to this realization. Every religion may claim that they have the truth or whatever. So there is such thing as your truth, my truth, other people's truth. So all this is truth according to the individual. That's why I finally came to that conclusion. The real understanding of truth is when you have awakened, become enlightened, when you have the embodiment of understanding of all the nature's law that govern life and existence. Especially nature's truth, which the Buddha called Dhamma. Dhamma is his teaching, and the essence of his teaching is the Four Noble Truths. The Four Noble Truths are called Noble Truths, where these are truth, nature's truth, that enable you to become enlightened beings when you understand them. That's why it's called Noble Truths. And enlightened beings during the Buddha is called noble ones. Noble beings with noble qualities. That's why they are called noble truth, not any other truth. Arya Satcha. Aryas are noble ones. Satcha is true. Noble truth. So when we look at all this, then we realize if truth is, which is the reality, then nobody can monopolize truth. Your truth, my truth, other people's truth, and all the individual truth that people proclaim are just our version of truth. Truth according to us. So when we understand that, then there is no more argument, no more misunderstanding. Why must you try to possess or own, monopolize, the word is monopolize truth? Because truth can never be monopolized. Truth is. Truth is the reality. Whatever that can explain the way things are, that is the truth. So if I have the understanding of life, if I understand the nature's law, means I have developed the understanding of truth. That's why I can be at peace with nature. That's why you can have the noble quality of an enlightened being, like the Buddha, who doesn't suffer anymore, where they can be at peace with all things. Everything has become so clear to them. The understanding is so deep, so profound, that they can see everything very clearly. The phenomenal world of consciousness, the unreality of phenomenal and form and mind. Then they also understand the unconditioned. The nature's law that governs life and existence within the conditioned world has its own set of reality. Then when you realize enlightenment, you realize the unconditioned, which has its other sets of reality. You have to have the understanding of both the unconditioned and the conditioned world for you to really able to manifest and live life beautifully. Then life becomes wonderful, meaningful. This is how the Dhamma become unique. This is why the Buddhist teaching is very unique. But it doesn't mean only Buddhism has the truth. No. Truth is everywhere. Truth is. So whoever who has that clarity of mind to discern, to understand all this, can realize the truth. The truth, like I said, is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. When you can have the understanding of it, when you can see it, you always see it. Because the universal characteristic, which is the characteristics of all things, anicca, dukkha, and anatta, they are everywhere in the midst of life, every moment, every instant. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Well, these are the enlightened beings that is stable in their understanding and their mindfulness and their heedfulness. They have seen them. They have awakened to them. They have insight into them. That's why they are different. They don't hold on to knowledge. They realize this truth. They awaken to it. Then they know this form and mind is just chemically conditioned vehicle and to for them to come to this existential world, to live life, to go through life, to experience all these things, and to fulfill their vows and their cultivation. So this understanding makes them different, peaceful, wise. Yeah? And they hold the virtue that separate them from the deluded living beings. They have very beautiful conduct. That's why the enlightened beings of the Sammasambuddha in the salutation to the Sangha, he said, these four pair of enlightened beings, they have all this beautiful virtue and conduct. Of right conduct is the order of the disciple of the Buddha. Of upright conduct is the order of the disciple of the Buddha. Then the third virtue is of wise conduct, is the order of the disciple of the Buddha. Then the last one is most important. This one, other teaching don't have. He said, of dutiful conduct, you have the right duty, is the order of this enlightened disciple of the Buddha. So not only they are of good conduct, upright conduct means very righteous. Then they are also very wise. Then lastly, because of their wisdom, they do their duty. They know the conditioned world is a conditioned world, no reality. But there is such thing as law of karma. And law of karma recognizes relationship. That's why you have to understand this. Then as a form of mind, we come. As a human being, we come. We have this right duty with regards to this nature's law, law of karma. We have to understand. Then this law of karma demands us to have the understanding, the right view, to perform our right duty in accordance with this law of karma, so that you don't violate this law of karma, so that your karmic nature is beautiful, so that you know how to live life, and so that you can avoid unnecessary karmic affliction in the future. And so having right duty, right understanding to conduct ourselves properly is very important. So right duty is very, very important. So all these are beautiful sharing. I hope it can help you all. So this understanding of truth is very important. So hopefully with this sharing, you can develop the contemplative wisdom and go deep into it. Because I have shared this many times, but in the early sharing, I didn't spend much time to elaborate on it because people are not ready for this type of teaching. But I realize nowadays the consciousness is different. Many beings and kayamita, they have this ability to understand. So that's why I would like to share this part, the understanding of truth, what is truth. And this truth which the Buddha taught, he called Dhamma, is very profound and very beautiful, very meaningful. Okay, we will continue. We go on. When we experience conflict with others, we need to maintain our self-discipline and self-respect. If we are able to cherish and uphold our spiritual aspiration, then naturally we will have an attitude of humility. This is very true. And not give rise to anger or lose our temper. This is also very true. This statement can only come from a true cultivator. So I read again, it will benefit you. When we experience conflict with others, so when this thing happens, normally what do you do? The author say, we need to maintain our self-discipline. Means you have to hold on to your precepts, hold on to your vow. You have to hold on to your sincerity and self-respect. If we are able to cherish all this and uphold our spiritual aspiration, means your vow and all those things, then naturally we will have an attitude of humility. This is the first thing that will happen when you cultivate, when you develop the understanding, when you have some form of wisdom or after you have awakened. Your character all change. You develop a lot of understanding of what virtue is, the importance of virtue. Then you become very humble. There is a lot of humility in you. You will not like become arrogant and all those things no more. People can say anything, you can accept. You can even be at peace. The ego is no more. It can just echo and flow. It can be at peace with all things. So this is the beauty. So this part, humility, is very true. And you will not stir your mind or lose your ability to be peaceful, which means give rise to anger, or become unhappy or miserable, or what happened. Then we will be able to safely and peacefully overcome even such difficulties as being harmed with knives and club, and this is very true, and abuses and insults with words. This one, unless you are a true cultivator, you cannot understand. That's why you can confront death, no problem. Actually, there is no reality at all. When it happens, it's just the form and mind with its condition dispersed. There is nothing. So all this, but if you take care of karma, you can avoid all this. So you don't have to worry too much. even if you have to confront them because of past coming or what, you will have the wisdom and the understanding to confront all this. So no problem at all. So what he shared here is very true. The author said, then we will be able to safely and peacefully overcome even such difficulties as be harm with knives and cups and abuses, or even insulted with words, with harsh words and insults. Over the last decade, in order to provide disaster relief after the South Asian tsunami, the Kashmir earthquake of Pakistan, and other international disaster, Tsuji volunteers around the world mobilized to solicit donations on the street. In some countries, the volunteers carry out the fundraising work on cold, snowy day. Even though they were covered in snow, they stood their ground and held out the donation box in the street. In places where it was raining heavily, the volunteer would just put on their raincoats and conduct their fundraising in the rain. In places where the sun are blazing in the sky, the volunteers nevertheless happily ask for donation even as the heat beat down upon them. So this shows their endurance, their sincerity, that they are willing to sacrifice for a greater good. Tsuji started his work in South Africa in 1992, helping the poor, providing emergency relief, drilling wells and so on, all to serve the local communities. Since 1997, we have also helped build schools in Zulu villages. All the work Tsuji did was well received by the local resident and government. Once during a big athletic events, the local Zulu Tsuji volunteer asked for permission to ask the spectator for donation. Upon seeing the volunteer, everyone was very happy. They not only welcomed them, but also took the initiative to pass the donation box along and put in their spare change. From afar, it looked as though the donation box were flying about. Actually, the majority of these people were not at all wealthy, so each person might have put in a few cents in the box, but their love, their joy, and eagerness to give in giving was truly touching. So this is beautiful sharing. So no matter how much time passes or what vigorous tests we have to endure, we must continue to willingly give of ourselves. For many kapas, though their bodies are worn down, they never become tired nor slackened. This is the true virtue of the bodhisattva. This is diligent. I often say that as we cultivate this spiritual training ground, as we cultivate in this spiritual training ground of stillness and contemplation, the meaning is very good. We go to the definition, stillness and contemplation. Oh, this, their meaning is 静思. Oh. So, 静思 is stillness and contemplation. Yeah, means all the sayings that come out from stillness, contemplation, is their 静思 saying. 静思也, yeah, now we know the meaning. So, their cultivation, they make use of the spiritual training ground of stillness and contemplation. Means 静思. Contemplation is yes, Jing is stillness, yeah. We must make use of the present time, space and interpersonal relationship to do good deeds. We have to take advantage of present opportunities. As a part of forming aspiration and vow, we must sustain them forever. So this one is very important. Né? So to do good deeds or to cultivate virtue, we have to take advantage of whatever opportunity there is. Né? Means the present condition or opportunity. So if you are part of Shiji volunteer, there's a lot of condition or opportunity for you to perform wholesomeness and good deeds. But even without going to such organization, you can develop a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of good deeds. If you are a cultivator, if you maintain mindfulness, heedfulness, if you have the Dhamma with you, you can do a lot of good deeds. Yeah. To cultivate wholesomeness or virtue is to develop a free mind, a mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then whatever you do will have this wholesomeness. The generosity will be there, the sincerity will be there. All of the virtue like patience, endurance, with wisdom will be there. The cultivation will lead to right mindfulness, leading to heedfulness, leading to awakening, straightening of view, unisop, manasikara, etc. So when all these fall into place, you will have the ability to cultivate all the noble eightfold path factors of right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then the four right efforts, you will know how to cultivate them. Then you are always mindful, ever mindful, heedful, leading to the mind that is unwavering, collected, the mind that is in samadhi. So that will enable you to fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path factors and cultivation, leading to that nature that has the embodiments of this Noble Eightfold Path factors. So these are very beautiful understanding. So whatever you do, it can be through your home cultivation or practice. Even as Kayamitas, we can develop a lot of wholesomeness. Yeah. There's a lot of opportunity and condition. First, you must develop the sincerity, the faith, the diligence to patiently cultivate, to develop the understanding, to develop the understanding, etc. Then only you can have this ability to do good deeds. Because avoiding all evil is easier. When you are mindful, heedful, you understand what constitutes evil, you can do that. But to cultivate good deeds and wholesomeness and virtue, need another form of understanding and cultivation. You have to move out of just avoiding evil. You have to develop all the noble qualities. All the understanding. So that part actually is a big topic covering Noble Eightfold Path. Okay, we will read on. As a part of forming aspiration and vow, we must sustain them forever. This one is true for bodhisattvas. If you have developed that aspiration, then you have vowed to go this way. For you to be successful, you must sustain them forever. You must not give up halfway. Means your faith is not strong. Your sincerity is not stable. Means you have not developed the ability to persevere, to develop all this. So cultivation demands a lot of sincerity, faith, and understanding. And perseverance. We must always keep our mind heading in the right direction. Be focused without distraction. And this is very true. And advance without regressing. And this is also very true. Only a true cultivator can give you this type of advice. This is how we move forward diligently, step by step, without the slightest Motivation. So these two sentences, I will explain it again, so that you understand. True cultivator must listen attentively. So the author say we must always keep our mind heading in the right direction. Means you must not have wrong view. That is very important. So the essential right views are the panchaniyamas. From there you start. Especially the three spiritual right views. Karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. These are very important. So you must always keep in mind these three right views so that it will prevent you from deviation, so that you will head in the right direction. When you have right view with regards to the law of karma, you will follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, to good, and purify your mind. That's how it starts. Then you have right view with regards to citta nupassana. You will know how you function as a human being. You will awaken, you will develop the wisdom. Yeah. So these are all very beautiful teachings and beautiful sharing. Then the last one is right view in regards to the essential Dhamma or the other truth that the Buddha teach. So when you have cultivated them, developed them, then you complete the whole training. So this part, you must keep your mind heading in the right direction, following the three spiritual right view. Yeah. Then be focused without distraction, means constantly abide by the precepts, abide by the right view, right understanding, then develop the faith, sincerity, and persevere within your cultivation without distraction. Then you will advance without regressing. Regressing is something you must be careful, you must watch out for. So regressing can only happen when you become complacent. Always remember that. Never, never become complacent. Even if you have cultivated until very stable, very different. Unless you can reach the cultivation of non-regression, means you can complete the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way beyond the eight grounds. There are 10 grounds. The eighth ground is you will never regress. Means you will always progress. So cultivation is about understanding. Never be complacent. Constantly, diligently, sincerely, with the faith, you move on until you have the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path with you, then you will never regress. This is how we move forward diligently, step by step, without the slightest deviation. So this is very true. The other thing about regression is Dhamma cultivation is very strange. Go back to this one. I will explain this, then we can end. You see, like I always explain, we are over the years of cultivation, after my nature have gone through all the training, my nature come to realize, initially when you start your cultivation, you tend to have a lot of ups and downs because you have not developed a clear understanding of what this cultivation is, this right path. And because you lack that one, so certain life will come, you may encounter some good karmic conditioning and affinity with the Triple Gem. Then you met up with the enlightened being or great beings. Then you learn from them and you develop virtuous cultivation and understanding. But then later on, because of your heedlessness in the past, negativity of karma, then in future life, you may no longer have this condition, then you fall. So what happened is, I remember when I was young, I played this game, snake and ladder. Snake and ladder. That was a very good analogy. The snake and ladder, initially, it's quite easy to go out. You throw the dice, then you go out. Then, as you go out, you will find problem. Because when you are complacent, not careful, you will hit a spot where there is a snake that actually causes you to slide down. So you slide back a bit. So initially, when you make mistake, you slide back a bit. So not much of a problem. But after you are cultivated quite well, you must always remember, don't make that mistake to be complacent. Otherwise, when you slide back, it's very severe. And remember, under that snake and ladder game, this guy that created the game is quite smart. Towards the end, before you reach your goal, means accomplish and win the game, you have to throw the dice to the accuracy that you exactly hit the 100 step mark goal. But whatever over or below can cause you problem. So there is a very long snake that takes you almost all the way down to square one. So many people hit that very long snake. Then they realize they have to start all over again. So they will have to be very careful. Then you need to have good karma, good parami, in order not to step on all those things. Even though it's just a snake and ladder game, what I want to tell you is, before you have the true understanding of the cultivation and the path, you tend to have this up and down, like snake and ladder game. But Dhamma is very beautiful. When you understand already, that life, when you understand, especially like now with the Buddha Sasana and the great window of opportunity, if you know how to make the affirmation, the vow, the causes and conditions for you to have all this right view and right understanding whenever you arise or choose to come or have to come, you must have this understanding. When you make the affirmation, then all of your future life is taken care of. Then when you are on the right path with the right aspiration, vow and determination, sincerity and faith and perseverance, you will come to realize very fast that this cultivation is not difficult actually. When you have the understanding, when you make the sincere, diligent, perseverant and have the faith to plant the seed of Bodhi, to develop that very strong affirmation and vow, then when you sincerely, through faith and understanding, make that vow to go this way, to plant the seed of Bodhi strongly, so that you will have this right view and right understanding life after life, whenever you choose to come or you have to come. Then this affirmation will give rise to the very firm Bodhi mind. And this Bodhi mind, they will take root. Then they will be the one that actually give rise to the causes and conditions for you to receive all this understanding. That's why planting the seed of Bodhi is the first step. There are 5 steps of Bodhi mind development. The first one is to through faith and sincerity and affirmation and determination, through power of truth, power of sincerity, wholesomeness, and power of merits, etc., to make this vow and affirmation to go the Bodhisattva way, to take the 4 basic vow, and to have all the right view strongly affirmed, following the yellow card I have given to you. Once you do that, your cultivation becomes different. It will give rise to the causes and conditions for you to have the affinity with the Triple Gem, have the right understanding life after life whenever you come, whether you choose to come or you have to come, whether the sasana is there or the sasana is not there. So the snake and ladder game is because when the sasana is no more, most people become heedless and deluded. Then they lost their way again. They wander in samsara for very long. So when you have this condition and window of opportunity or golden window of opportunity like this asana, you better make sure you go all out to make the affirmation so that your future is all secure. Do it. Do it. Never waste your time. So with this sharing, I hope by now it's clear to all Kayamita what you have to do. This is the best condition. So if you plant the seed of Bodhi, seriously vow, develop the faith, the aspiration, and invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to walk this way, so that you will have all this right view, right understanding, and right cultivation arising life after life, whenever you have to come or you choose to come, or whenever your form and mind arise. So this is most important, okay? So with this, I will end my today's sharing, and we can open up for our second session, which is meditation, reporting, and Q&A. You can ask whatever question you want to ask with regards to the teaching, the meditation, or the cultivation.
Brother,
Berarti
will share ke experience. During working hours 的时候，在下午，我在 handle 我的一个 customer 的这个 case 哈。我这个 customer 他是一个 old couple 来的，很多年前他和他的 these husband and wife 就有了很多的 misunderstanding， 就一直在吵架哦。2 years ago, 那个 wife refused to sign the document. Then last year, the husband refused to sign the document. Then 上个礼拜就那个 husband 就 call 来，就叫我 prepare document， 讲他们已经 agreed to 要去离婚了。所以我就在 prepare 那个 document 的时候，那个 sankara 就要 arise。来一个 happy joy 这样子要去来讲，就是为什么这个一个 couple 能够走到60岁了还要end up with them. Like all this reasoning now is arise.
Analysis
对。Then suddenly 那个里面一个 click 因为他就很像一个 switch 这样子，在一个这样子然后就有一个声音就讲。Right view
对
，Right view， 然后我的麦整个就 cease 了下来。
因为你有了那个 understanding 嘛 ，it will surface
然后我整个
这个也是给你看到，你的自己的那个 habitual tendency 啊 ，that used to arise like that 所以那个还没有灭掉，还没有断掉。So later on, when the wisdom become very stable, 它不会起来了的。它 straight away 了解了 ，thing is just the way it is, the world is the world. That's why 那个 wisdom to 接受 everything is very deep, very profound, and you need to stabilize that. And that one need some period of cultivation. And all this understanding when they surface, you become different. So 你这一次是很好啦，有这个 condition， because the world is the world， like I say， people are just the way they are， 什么种的人都有， like my daughter say， what all kind of people in this world， you cannot say why are they like that， then sometimes 好像你讲啊，你去 based on analysis 啊 or reasoning 啊，那个是用那个 mundane mind 咯， then there will beThis logical thinking coming on. Why they have been married for so many years? Like you say, almost 60 years. And yet, you cannot understand. Why can't they resolve all this and move on? But they will hold on to their bitter argument, their deluded thinking, the wrong thought. That's why they can do this type of thing.And they still want to divorce because out of anger, hatred, delusion, the bitterness of life experiences, things that they go through. That's why without Dhamma, without understanding, human being is just the way they are. So there are a lot of such cases. So you cannot be like everyone also pity them and calling them and all things, then try to help. When there is no condition, forget about it. Not to say you are not helpful, you are not compassionate, you are not loving. No, all this need condition. Unless there is condition, then different. Then you can give some hint and talk about it. So when they are willing to listen, then it's different. Then you can start by saying, 其实这个东西是很简单的。 So what you can tell them is, these are very simple things. You are not the only one who has gone through all this. And then you can give your experience, your example. You see, you have seen people who are maybe worse than them. But finally, when they come to understand, they will listen to you, provided there is condition. As I said, provided they are ready to listen. When they are ready to listen, it's very easy to resolve all these things. The first question you ask them is, if you make this decision, are you happy? If you are not happy, is your wife happy? If she is also not happy, then this decision is the wrong decision. Yet it doesn't lead to happiness. Then sometimes out of anger, they say, yeah, I wanted it. I'm happy. Are you sure? Deep inside, be sincere. So what is important is to develop the understanding to resolve misunderstanding amicably so that both can move on. So at that age already, why is it so hard to say, I'm sorry? Or forgive me if I've done anything wrong. So it's your approach, it's your understanding for the good of the many and both our life, so that we can resolve this amicably and move on, so that you have your life, I have my life, so that we have this freedom. But we are still friends because we have resolved it amicably. So all this anger, hatred, delusion, wrong thought, the evil root, they can cease. But not everybody has the Dhamma. Some karmic obstruction, they refuse to listen means they refuse to listen. So you will start to encounter more and more of this. Then later on, when there is condition, when you are able to have one or two, that is the beginning of your nature's ability to come out, to share, and to let people understand. Then you have to go through this for a period. Because initially, the wisdom is not strong enough. Your experience is not strong enough or deep enough. So it's not easy to actually bring about that understanding and help people resolve all these things easily. Some you may encounter different religion, different belief system, and that one is even more difficult. But when you have that understanding and the experience already, you can do it. You can do it. So be patient, develop the understanding and the wisdom. Then this one is a good condition for you to develop that understanding. And I think it's meant to be, so that you know how this habitual tendency that actually need more stable wisdom to root out, it will have its condition to arise. And when it arises, straight away, like you say, that contemplative understanding, that this is analysis, this is reasoning, this is the mundane mind, then you will straight away know sabbe sankara dukkang. No point. There is sankara trying to reason, trying to justify, develop the logical thinking. Why can't you have the right view, the right understanding and wisdom to accept them for what they are? Then just let things be. If there is condition to help, then only manifest. If there is no condition, do your duty. Do what you have to do. So your company help them to do what document?
Is it 没有，是因为我是在那个 company secretary department. So, 他们是 director 来的, so 他要 resign, 他的 wife 要 transfer out 那个 share.
Okay, so
我就 prepare 那个 documents.
那些 not so bad 啦, divorce document 更难了。那些 okay 啦, company secretary 啦, miss 他们那个账簿全部要 sort out. 那个 OK， 也是好啊，给你一个 experience 啊，经验过。So 后来怎样 ？After 你的整个麦静下来，那个 thinking speed 怎样？
那个 the moment 他一整个那个 click 那个 right view 一出来，这个 words 一出来以后啊，整个的麦就停了下来。
对，
就啊。Then after 一下子了过后哦，哇，因为他哦，然后我就去 contemplate， 我就去一下去 contemplate。
Yeah, contemplate after that. No, that's why the moment you understand the whole thing sits on， 他的 sankara 不能跑了的。When the understanding is not stable， 他还会摇动的，他还会去想的。But 你了解了啊，因为你以前有go through the thing。而且你有了那个 understanding， but 这个是他的 habitual tendency， 一路来啊， as you work， as you go through your career path and your career life， you tend to use reasoning analysis that thinking to actually look at things。 That's how that mundane mind, if you don't have wisdom, the Dhamma, very fastthey actually deceive and delude the living being and make them heedless, and make you like want to interfere and want to do something, that doing the one thing, the craving is all the thought. Then sometimes they think they are cultivated. No, I must help. I must have compassion. I must have love. Forget about all those things because these are not people with the real understanding and cultivation.The real one will accord and flow. Accord and flow means got condition, you do, no condition, you just let things be. Have an open mind, have a free mind, and just live. Do your duty. Develop wisdom, understand. Then have the ability to see sign, see condition. When you have the ability to see sign, see condition, you will know how to manifest. You will know whether...the situation warrants your assistance or not. So all these are part and parcel of the cultivation, the path. And you will go through. And it will take time to develop all this understanding. Then after you have the ability later on, you really can help people. Then you can start by trying. Even earlier on, you help many people. I think Qin Hao, they are obvious.Through your, the way you develop the understanding, they know you have changed. That's why they have faith in you and they have faith in your words. They are willing to follow your advice and your words. So these are easier, but these are cultivated, Dhamma friends and all things. But later on, when you want to deal with non-Dhamma people to help them, that one need further, more stable Dhamma understanding.Not until you can resolve all this issue, until you yourself become very peaceful, very calm, and you got no more problem, right? And then only you can manifest to help others. That's what I realized. Before you are ready, not easy. This work is not easy. So for me, over the years, maybe also because of my past, my nature, I have this inner ability to do all this because my understandingThere are a lot that I never learned this life that I can apply. And when I apply them, it really gives rise to result, very good result. And I can make the Dhamma so different, so simple, and it can be related to real life problem. And I can help them see very clearly and resolve all this. without having to resort to Dhamma. Very simple truth, simple understanding. Even Gumoy told me a lot of times, he said simple words like, it's only a thought. How come it has such power over you? Then your life, you hold the key to your own life destiny. So all these are very beautiful. Then, like the Diamond Sutra, 一切有为法，如梦幻泡影. They are the mentoring educated. When you share this with them, they understand, they appreciate. Then the law of karma, that one is very important. I realize that one for people who go through suffering and get severely entangled with karmic the karmic friction of whatever they have done in the past, they find it very difficult to come out and develop the understanding. That is when the Dhamma can really help. Then when they understand, slowly, slowly, they will try their very best to come out of it. Then after they have applied it and see the result, they become different. Then they have a lot of gratitude towards you. Many of these Kriyamita that recover, they have a lot of gratitude towards my nature. A lot of them tell me, Sibratil, you have helped us enough, so much. Without you, our life will still be miserable. So these are the feedback you will receive. And then you see the beauty of the Dhamma. So this is something that is very useful. So thank for your this very good sharing. So after that, what else?
Okay. Then 那时我就去 contemplate 之后, 他就整个有一个那个 understanding, like 就是, 他们, 这个 couple, 他们 because of 那个 karma, without 这个 understanding, 然后又这么, 走过了这样多年, 说那个 karmic 整个的 evolved, 整个的 condition, 一直 evolved 到他们变成今天这样子, They are what they are, 就是他们就是这样子, 那个 condition 这样子, 完全那种 understanding 整个就,
就先出来了,
看到了, 就这样,
对对对, you have to accept them for what they are, 因为是因缘法嘛, karmic 嘛, so karmic has its own 缘起缘灭, so unless they have the understanding, this thing will, like just now they share, continue. I call it the karmic repercussion. So, 这个 karma 的东西, 除非你有了佛法, it will not give rise to understanding and they cannot stop it. This will perpetual. Or I call it karmic repercussion. Keep on like happening. It hit and, the other side will react, like repercussion, they fight back, they get angry, miserable, then the hatred on, then they vow to take revenge. So it is like all this karmic thing continue to perpetuate itself. So very good. After that, what happened?
Then 过后, Murdy 有 about 2-3 days, 我有一天驾车, 忽然间我 link to 这个, 上次我们在上, 你有 share 的, 就是在那个, Surangama 的那个, 里面有一个, statement 就讲我们人, 就是因为 from 那个, pure consciousness, because of 我们要 wanted to know, then 我们 arise 了那个 thought, then from there 我们就 fall, then 那个 karma, then 就一直 involve, 我们就 birth and death, birth and death, 一直 involve 那个 law of karma, until 我们变成今天这样子,
对对对,
then 我两个 incident 两个可以 connect 起来, 就是 这个 husband and wife 是 in this life 的，他们的那个 law of karma involved 到变成他们这样子。
Yeah.
因为我就从这个 strong karma 里面的那个 statement 里面就 realize that 我们的现在的这一个 form and mind 的 involved 就是也是一样从那个 pure consciousness 里面 fall out and then life after life 的那个law of karma 这样子一直的 involved until 我们 so complexity到今天啊
the entanglement、so 它是从那个 first thought of ignorance、that condition the primordial darkness、楞严经 call it the primordial darkness the first thought of ignorance、that condition until now so 他们这一世就是 after 这么久的因缘法了 so you just imagine how can you unlock all thisThe entanglement has been going on for so long. Unless you have the Dhamma, you can never extinguish or cease all this. You can never, never. Because the seed has, like, 那个拉浪啊 multiply until, you entangle not with one, nor with billions, or with all the karmic negativity. 你已经, like, create that karmic negativity, with,billions and billions and billions of beings so 什么时候能够完清那个 coming back impossible that's why if you have fall and created too much of this there is no way you can actually cease all this unless you encounter the Buddha Dhamma、so very good you're able to link that one is very good so that you understandthe whole profound full picture of how living beings get themselves entangled through aeons and aeons of delusion and karmic entanglement. That's why 他会有业障。
所以 Brother 他们两个是 professional 来的 the wife 是他们这个 couple 是印度人来的 the wife 是 lawyer 他的 husband 是 businessman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
然后我就想哇两个 professional 哇一直在、哦、哇一直 fighting 哇这 ending 这样子
In fact, 最糟糕就是 the intellectual the intellectual and with a lot of qualification 那个、most of the time end up dying one soon the ego that's why for me、maybe I share this with you all when I decide to get married this lineI went through a lot of understanding. That's why for me, because I'm a civil engineer and if I want to have that choice, I can actually marry highly intellectual, wife and other things where there were conditions too. But those that really have the Dhamma condition on my nature, no. Then later on, I know,what type of wife I supposed to have because my vow actually told me if ever I were to get married this life is because of certain reason to save a family and that family must be upside down then the second condition he must know Mandarin I don't know why from the past it come he must know Mandarin then not too sophisticated one simple primary school teacher is the bestWhy? They have more time to look after their children, the household, because not so intellectual. Otherwise, end up a lot of argument. So simple. Then that time I just marry my wife because all the conditions fall into place. So when people ask, you marry a school teacher, some of primary school, I say, so what? Even my father, they're not questioning me.He just leave it to me where he know when I make a decision, I really make the decision. So that is how you should develop the understanding. But I saw a lot of intellectual people, most of them end up divorced because both also very strong view and very strong ego, like my daughter said. You sure cannot resolve issue one. We are both want to be right. Then who wants to give up? So this is what you will see.Then you will have all this understanding. But you also have to know all this. It depends on the era we come. It depends on the civilization we come. Yeah. It's very different. That's why your wisdom is very deep one. It's not only one thing, two thing, or one. You cannot like have the same understanding and one size fit all apply to all civilization. Cannot. Different. Every life you come is different. Then my nature choose. That's why I like the what they call. I like to go through. We call what already? The period of different transition period. I like to go through transition. I like to see the evolution of the world from the less developed to the developed, then the very developed. That's why I choose my timing, my nature. I avoided World War II. Then I came, I was born, I think about 14 years after World War II. Then by then the education system, everything was there already. Then I saw the 50s and the 60s, still very primitive. Then when I finished my Form 5, I was 70, the beginning of 70s. My Form 5 was 1971. That's why I saw all those things. Then when I graduate also, end of 70, then I saw the 80s, the 90s, the rest is history. Everything is so beautiful. That's why we are very fortunate to have born during this golden age, the transition period where I can experience and see so much things. And I reached the prime of my life and career. After 1989, I had the Dhamma. Then after that, I retired in the year 2001. Then Yuan Chan came to me in the year 2004. Then I get to not do what I want to do in life. So it has been for more than 20 years, almost 20 years since my retirement. So I have this good life. I retire with full understanding, with full career opportunity too. I went through my whole career path. I reached the pinnacle of it. Then my spiritual training too, I also reached the pinnacle of it. Then materialistic success in life, harmony, everything, I achieved them, I realized them. So that was the fulfilled life that a living being can have. And even at this age, 67, it's still very beautiful. At least 10 or more years to go of very beautiful life. So if 10 more years means at least 2030 or 2030 something. So touch wood if you can hit 2040. So 2040 if you're still around, we should have a great gathering. Most of us already quite old, I think around 80 plus or 80s. So we see how it goes. So develop the Dhamma to understand life so that you can live life to the fullest. Good song. Sadhu.
Bertil, 我想问你，Bertil， 这个这样子一个 click， 那个right view 这样子跑出来，是一个 reminder 还是
哦，它是你的 wisdom 来的 ，Uniso Manasikara 来的，它会掀起来的，因为你有了、，but not stable， 你刚才没有听好 ，not stable 那时候，以前我也有跟你讲过了呢。Not stable, then the habitual tendency will come out first. Then sometimes it come out for a while, then you, like this case, you take 2 or 3 days to click. But later on, it will be very fast, very fast, very fast. Later on, the moment it arise, the understanding come out, then it sits. Then most of the time, if it's the first few time because of habitual, you still want to understand, then you think, understand or not? You go and reflect and contemplate. No harm. Go and do it. Because these are the stages that you will have to go through to evolve the understanding. Then later on, when it's stabilized, you realize, how come now cannot arise already? Cannot even have the habitual tendency to do anything already. Yeah, it's like, 不能起来了, the thing like rooted out, like there is nothing inside there already. You cannot go and think anymore. Then you just smile. 你只会笑啊。Then 你没有经过那个 phase 啊。You can never develop this ability to understand. So what you want to know is just now the question is, this sudden understanding, is it a reminder? It's not really a reminder in the sense that it's a wisdom that you already have. But because it is not stable yet, you have not stabilized it yet. You have not developed the very stable understanding. That's why the habitual tendency still have the power to cause you to reflect or think about it. I call it analysis. That's why I say, you remember last time after what happened to you from this Achana Ananda, after you come back, the connection that I told you, technically, from now on, you don't need a teacher because you will understand yourself, but it will take you a long time if you do that. So if you develop the training under somebody who have gone through and understand, then it can cut short your journey. Then I always remind you, it's always your thought. Later on, when you keep on coming back with a question, how come this one is like that, this one is like that? I say, all these are analysis. You remember? You are trying to use your thought to analyze and question. Forget about it. Because these are sankhara. No need. Why must you know? No need to know. Just do. Then when you understand, the understanding will actually straighten your view and make you very different. So analysis is the sankhara coming back through the back door. It will use knowledge to analyze. Then to create the reasoning. Then logic. Then reviews, the opinion. All this will come in. So 现在你就慢慢了解 what this memory is all about. How come it has such habitual tendency? Even the author of the book, Zheng Yuan Fa Shi, he also mentioned, because she must have gone through that phase of habitual tendency, very difficult to root out. 真的不容易。Need a lot of wisdom and stability. If it's not because of my past, not easy. This thing will keep on coming. That's why a lot of people cannot have peace. There is always issue, especially politicians. So for your understanding, this is something you have to bear in mind. Then it will help you in your cultivation. So whenever all this analysis or reasoning starts to surface, you have to have the understanding that all these are sankhara. Then you go back to the Diamond Sutta, very important. Each year you weigh down. All these are conditioned dhamma. So conditioned dhamma, you cannot use the mundane mind to go and analyze or reason and seek an answer. You need dhamma. It's like acting according to wisdom is true action. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. So that word, that those two sentences will surface very clearly now in your brain, in your mind, in your understanding. Because when you do all this thinking analysis, you are acting according to memory. Where the memory recalled through views, opinion, and conditioning. Then right and wrong come in. So hopefully you listen to all this again, then you reflect, you contemplate. Then the next time it becomes different. But when you straighten your view more, then that understanding, learn to see things as they are, accepting the way it is. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. So all this you must reflect, contemplate. Then mighty nature rolling by. Then like the Buddha said, condition like that, things we learn. So you must stabilize all this understanding. This is called right view. Having the right understanding to accept the reality of the moment, to be at peace with the moment. You cannot be at peace with the moment, sankhara will come in. Habitual thinking will come in. Then all this analysis and reasoning, all this will surface. That's why it's not easy. The real cultivation is not what people think.
Yeah, yeah. But 就真的是, go through 了这么样多年,
yeah.
这么样多的，你才慢慢了解。对，我现在才慢慢的能够去 differentiate 那个 analysis mind, mundane mind, 还有那个 silent. 你可以看到，以前是在 knowledge wise.
对。但是最近一直
go through 这种 experience, 从这个 experience 里面去得到那个 understanding.
Yeah.
所以可以开始慢慢的去看到，去了解。 That's why 如果没有去走过，很难真的不知道那种 habitual 那个 analysis 那个 silent
reasoning. 因为你的 problem, there's another part that I must let you understand is that in the early days when you reflect and contemplate and inquire, the second turning is very useful, effective. But that is for Dhamma investigation, understand now? Dhamma contemplation. But if you use it for worldly thing, then it ends up as analysis and reasoning. Learn to differentiate between these two. Dhamma investigation, when you reflect, contemplate, and inquire, is about the Dhamma, the Noble Truth, the second turning of the Four Noble Truths. Why did the Buddha say this? Why did the Buddha say Rupang Anicchang, Rupang Anatta? All this you can reflect, contemplate. It will not lead to analysis. But when you go and analyze human problem, that becomes a problem. That there is analysis of it. But when you silence your mind and observe through mindfulness, through awareness, through heedfulness, then you start to see the dependent origination. You start to see how people get into entanglement, how they stir the mind, how they read. That one is not analysis. That one is from the daily mindfulness, the silent mind in silent awareness to observe, to understand, to awaken. These three, you must not confuse. 可以明白吗?
明白，谢谢Brother，这个是我最近才比较清楚，开始
have deeper understanding.
Yeah,
以前你 actually 有那个 wisdom 了 understanding, but 因为 habitual tendency 很难 root out one. Take it even
correct,
正常老师 also understand, that's why you keep on repeating habitual tendency inside there. And I will know when a person saw this, means he's a good cultivator. But for her to root out this, she know it take a long time. That's why she keep on asking you to investigate the habitual tendency. That she also went through. Yeah. But for me, my past helped me. My past came very fast. Then I understood the suchness, the accepting as they are, the profound words of the Buddha, seeing as they are. The world is the world. That one is my own understanding. I add in the Dhamma book never teach that. But the Dhamma book did teach how to see things as they are. But they never explain how to do it. But the words are there. Jnana Dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Then seeing things as they are. Then also a lot of things that the Buddha teach, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. Then when it comes to true suchness, the Buddha used the word tatata. So whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. So these causes and conditions, like Asaji say, my teacher has taught us, means first one is the law of karma. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition is supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of karma. So all this will link. Then the Buddha say, thing is just the way it is, because when condition is like that, things will be like that. So it linked to the first part where he told the five ascetic, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. Actually, that statement can awaken living being, can make you a sotapan. Any living being who know how to reflect, contemplate, or awaken to the truth. It shows what? It shows everything is dependent originating, 因缘法, condition arising, cause of phenomenon. That's why from there, the universal characteristics or impermanent, anicca, dukkha, anatta, everything fall into place. That's why the moment I understand, I awaken, all this fall into place. Then there is no more doubt, no more delusion, no more like every time wants to recall, oh, what is anicca? Then don't know how to apply. then everything is like knowledge or impermanent, this one change, that one won't awaken you. You must see it, then awaken to it. Means understand, because the direct seeing allow you to see that everything is like that. Dependent originating, condition arising, cause of the known, that movement is very clear. Then how the sankhara come in? Like you know, one thing to know, one thing to experience, you create thinking. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara. Then after sankhara arise, what else? It make contact with the brain. That's why sankhara paccaya vijnana, mental consciousness arise. Then after that, your views, your opinion, your brain, the memory, and the conditioning input the content of consciousness. That's how vijnana become nama rupang, the five aggregate of form and mind, the mental aggregate. So all this become very clear. That's why I say when I saw all this, I know the book teach wrongly. The Patisasamutpada is not the one explained in the text, the three period of time and all those things. Okay, Song?
Yeah, satu beradil. Yeah.
Let's say for the good condition and the good sharing. So let us all rejoice. We are 10:33 already. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Ah, your brother Song, can you continue?
Working well, I'll
put a little bit of things. Can you, can
you, can you? This two days, I found that I went to buy things, what? Hey, that 那个 love and compassion 哦，就你会，对，你要就整个很像，我讲就 arise 上来对那些人，我自己，哎，我讲怎么会哦，开始以前从来没有这样子的，就是很像那 compassion 就很像对他们哦，我讲哎呦讲讲我都，然后就很像哦讲讲啊，
我知道，我知道、那个 nature inside there will have that。That spontaneous thing, like 你了解了佛法 deep enough, go wide enough, then that thing will give rise to compassion, love. Then later on you will have gratitude too. So all this is very natural, it will manifest. But you must be careful. Sometimes it's also due to your but not likely your case, because those who just cultivate not that long, sometimes they will have that type of knowledge to say that they have to be more loving, more compassionate. Then that one is actually through the thought they develop, like they pity people, they have this feeling of compassion, wants to help, wants to like radiate love, metta, all those things. So that one, you have to be careful. If it's from the thought one, then that is using knowledge with some form of Dhamma understanding, trying to create that type of mind state. But the real one is, it come out naturally. 好像你刚才 share, you also don't know why it's like that. And that is good.Means from that nature, through the understanding of Dhamma, it can manifest that way. Because you will go through that phase on that loving kindness, that compassion, especially the metta. I remember during the early days, my metta was very strong. I just radiate. And that metta energy very strong. Then there is compassion for the world, for living beings and all things.Then later on, there is also this understanding, the unconditioned understanding, the what they call Diamond Sutta and the the Six Patriarch Platform Sutra's understanding of the unconditioned start to set in, then that understanding again move to another level. It's like no mark. No mark of the self cultivating, no mark of others, and then no mark of life, no mark of existence, no mark of number. So that unconditioned wisdom, when it sets in, it is very different. Then you realize this initial cultivation type of compassion, love, and whatever, this one that flow earlier on, it has reached a stage where the equanimity take over. When the equanimity take over, then it no longer can manifest that type of very strong. But joy can still be there. Joy can still be very strong. But what I try to explain to you is, even though there is no real being involved, no one born, no one die, no one sick. So that love, that compassion, is when you are still doing the initial cultivation, that thing will manifest. Because out of love for the living being, you vow through your bodhisattva vow to take them across. So initially, you will have all this. But later on, you realize you need the unconditioned wisdom to go beyond all this emotion, entanglement, and all those things. So there is a very thin line where you have to tread, so that you are not caught in the duality. Because the duality is where the conditioned world Dhamma is. In the conditioned world, duality exists. And duality can actually delude living beings, because they tend to attach and cling to duality. But to be able to transcend duality, you need the unconditioned Dhamma. The unconditioned Dhamma can make you go beyond duality. But the conditioned Dhamma has its reality, has its truth. That's why you have to walk that thin line, that track. So cultivation demands understanding of the unconditioned and the conditioned. So this phase you are going through is very good. You let the love, the compassion, the whatever, later on even gratitude, everything will arise. Let it arise. Then later on, after you pass through this phase, then when you move on to the bodhisattva way, when you understand the Mahayana teaching very deeply, especially the noma, noma of a self, noma of others, noma of life, existence, and all that, then you realize everything is empty, kong, no reality. And then during that time, you have less of this even very positive emotion like compassion, loving kindness, this thing like no more like before already. It cannot take you to that level. But when you go through the cultivation in the initial stage, that one can still manifest. That's why it manifests for me to see. And at that time, my mind was very beautiful. Very beautiful. But later on, as it go beyond and went into the unconditioned understanding, then that understanding bring for equanimity. You know what is equanimity, Ping Teng Sing. So that one transcend duality. Then all this, even very positive, loving kindness, compassion, the emotion, they will cease. So this is to prepare you. But don't hold on to this idea or thinking of what I share. Let it happen by itself. So whatever you go through, rejoice, and let it flow out, let it unfold, the love, the compassion. Then you will learn from it. Then you will continue to develop it. Then it will actually move you. Then at certain stage, it may even let you have the understanding of, you will try to go vegetarian and all those things. Let it happen when it arises. Then find out for yourself whether your physical body, this life, come, the DNA is suitable or not. If it's suitable, go ahead. If there is understanding that you can go vegetarian, why not? Go ahead. So it's up to you. Okay. So.
Okay. Sadhu, Brazil.
Sadhu.